And now here's Dr. Morgan. Hi, welcome to the program. It's raining outside currently. It is. It's not as cold as yesterday, though. The number here at the station, or this program is called Health Essentials, the number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Now, I think I've told this story wrong 3 different times, so I'm going to correct it. But to me, this is so fascinating. So if you will, just entertain this thought for a second. I think you've heard me say before that if there's a child that has a temper tantrum, child could be 2 years old. The reason I'm saying that is because everybody's heard of the terrible twos. Well, what do you do when a kid is kicking and screaming and just out of sorts? Well, you pick him up and you hold him. And if you pat him and caress him and you tell him everything's going to be okay and you kind of shush him a little bit from the loud screaming and crying. Not that I've heard that a million times myself. But what happens is when you touch a child and you hug and you hold, it releases a hormone or a chemical from the brain. It's called oxytocin. Sometimes oxytocin is called the bonding hormone. If a woman is going into labor, but she just can't quite dilate enough to make the transaction take place, I know that doesn't sound right. I'm sorry. If the dilation of the cervix just doesn't progress and her water breaks, they probably are going to take her and say, we're going to give you some Pitocin. Well, that's oxytocin. So they actually give oxytocin to women in the hospital when their labor is not progressing, just to kind of help it along. Well, anyway, I do not have the article in front of me, but it was talking about just the concept of you doing something nice for somebody else. If you went out of your way to write a sweet, adorable note to somebody from church that hadn't been there in a while, or if you were to hold the door open for somebody at Walmart, actually scratch that because they have automatic doors, but you know what I mean. Well, what happens is the body starts surging oxytocin. Well, my point to start the program with is oxytocin, when it's released, it helps dissolve stress hormones. And you're probably asking, well, why is that important to me? Well, the most abundant stress hormone is called cortisol. And so you've got to have it. It's almost like the conversation of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. There's a good side and there's a bad side. If you get just enough cortisol, then all of a sudden good things happen. Your body stays free of inflammation. You heal well. You feel pretty good. But what happens if you get way, way, way too much of it? Well, I was reading an article showing that there's this brain structure called the hippocampus, and too much cortisol will just out and out destroy it. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. This is Jules.
Hey, Jules. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm good. I haven't seen you in, 30 or 40 years?
Closer to 29, but go ahead.
There you go. Question. On the keto diet, one of the things that I am seeing is they say stay away from maltodextrin.
That's a cornstarch.
Okay. Is it possible to have maltodextrin, vegetarian maltodextrin that acts as a saccharide instead of a, I don't know what the word
is. Well, a saccharide is just a fancy word for a sugar, right?
I don't know.
Well, if you were to go to the store and say, I'd like some artificial sweetener, they might give you saccharin, which is just kind of a play on words. But a saccharide is a sugar, or a disaccharide is a double sugar. Like glucose or fructose is a disaccharide. It comes from fruit sugar.
Okay.
Well, this is not what you were asking me, but I'm going to answer it this way.
Okay.
What you want with a ketogenic diet is you want your body to start converting all the stored form of energy called fat into fuel, right?
Yes.
Okay. This is not exactly the easiest thing to say, but let me have kind of a stab at it. I think anybody out there would say, are you recommending cornstarch? Well, no, but They have actually done studies in India, which I'm sure you've heard this before, but India, they have absolutely the most cases of diabetes anywhere on the planet.
I didn't know.
I think they own 63% of all cases of diabetes. Wow. And the other thing that I've read, which these are just numbers to me, I'm not really a numbers person, but what would happen to a country when their healthcare system is just crushed under the debt of surgeries and medications and everything that goes along with taking care of diabetes? I mean, they're just about broke. Well, this last year here in North America, or in the United States, this is the highest number of amputations for diabetics in the history of surgeons removing toes and half of a foot and legs and stuff like that. That doesn't sound like we're doing such a great job with diabetes.
No.
But in India, there's two things that they've tried. Now, this is only book knowledge. I have not been to India. Have you been to India before?
No, sir.
Okay. I think that they probably do more with consuming starches than they do animal products, like meat, like a steak or something like that. So they may be more vegan or vegetarian in nature. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Well, one thing that they've tried is they've taken and cooked rice or cooked potatoes on the stove. And so let me just give you an analogy here. You have a pot of rice and you have a pan or a pot where you're cooking some red jacketed potatoes. And once they're done, what they've done in this study in India is they take them and they immediately, while they're hot, they put them right in the refrigerator. And so when they take them from hot, fully cooked, to the refrigerator, there is a chemical reaction that takes place. And what it does is it almost welds those saccharides or those sugars together to where they can't be absorbed or digested. And so if you eat a potato that's been cooked fresh or you eat a big bowl of rice, there's going to be a whole lot of saccharides or starches or sugars in there, and your body's going to convert that into glucose. And that's going to overwhelm your system if you have insulin resistance or you're, you know, not in the ketogenic state. But if you took and cooked it and then put it immediately in the refrigerator, that cold air somehow or another causes a chemical reaction where they just they glue themselves together. So if you were to heat them up and eat them the very next day, guess what? You'll only have half the starch or half the sugar.
Should you put it in the freezer?
Sure can.
Okay.
You just may have to thaw it out a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But see, that's the bottom. Have you ever heard of a drug called metformin?
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, metformin may end up being the most prescribed drug to treat diabetes. And so this is what a study said that I read the other day, and I've never read this before, so it's like new information to me, which I could say that probably every day. You just come across so much information, you think to yourself, well, I haven't heard that before. But they said about metformin that when people take that, the way that it really works is it increases the production of a substance by a type of bacteria in the lower bowel called butyrate. And butyrate increases insulin sensitivity. And so they think that maybe what the drug does, it has a positive effect on altering gut flora or a person's microbiome to where the good bacteria start making more butyrate. And I thought to myself, that is genius. Because what they do is with animals, if they have rats that they've caused to have diabetes, one of the way of reversing the diabetes is to increase their production of butyrate or butyric acid. Would you care to guess which foods are very high in butyric acid? Probably the best source I know of.
And potato.
What'd you say?
Potato.
No, but tell me the substance that you put, that you melt on top of the potato to make it taste better.
Butter.
Exactly. You got it. And so when you consume butter, what you're doing is you're consuming a source of butyrate that's easy on the body. And I know this sounds nuts. There's probably people that are listening going, Dr. Morgan, have you lost your marbles? You're telling us to start putting butter on top of our broccoli and our green beans and sweet potatoes and squash? Yes, because it contains butyrate.
Let me add to that, good doctor. The recommendation is that you put butter in your coffee.
What's wrong with that? That's brilliant. And if you're going to have coffee anyway,
right?
Coffee. See, that's the one thing that'll take you out of ketosis. And so let's just say that you had two meals yesterday. You had one at 12 o'clock and one at 6 o'clock. And so that means you're essentially fasting, you know, 18 hours a day. But if you wake up in the morning and you have coffee, most likely your liver is going to ramp up to speed and start processing it. And then the byproduct is more insulin, which is what you don't want. Because if you already have insulin resistance or diabetes, you want to try to reverse that. You want your cells to become more insulin sensitive, which I hate to admit this, but age catches everybody, doesn't it?
Let me see if I understand. Getting up in the morning and having a cup of coffee, no bueno.
Yes, there's probably a 95% probability no bueno.
Okay.
And so what you would do is, if you were going to have your first meal of the day at, say, 10 a.m. or 11, you could have your coffee with that. And, you know, psychologically, you could probably just write this on a sheet of paper and say, okay, I want to get into ketogenesis where my body is more efficiently converting fat into energy. And, of course, my interpretation is this is something that you kind of cycle in and out of and cycle out of. You just don't do it every single month of your life without fail. I think studies are showing you need variety. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
But if you had two meals a day and you had your coffee and you're within that feeding window of 6 to 8 hours, that's where you're going to have all the good results.
Okay.
And the other day, now this is only me repeating what I heard from a message on my answering machine, but a woman called me on the phone. She says, Dr. Morgan, I just want to give you an update. I have tried everything that this is pertaining to a phone call I had with her. And she is adorably sweet. I mean, she is the nicest woman of all time. I'm even crazy about her husband. But she's telling me, my husband is losing weight, but I haven't lost anything, and I have been very disciplined. And so I said, what I want you to do is I want you to give your body a rest. And so ultimately, I would say, if I can narrow it down, that maybe the liver is going to be the end organ where fat loss takes place. And so sometimes you just want to give the liver a vacation. So in her case, I said, why don't you just try fasting on celery juice and see what happens? And so it's not like she's going totally without food. She's drinking all the water that she wants just for a short season, maybe a day or two or three. But she was just drinking celery juice. And I think she was putting some other things in there also. But when she would drink that, she gave me a call back. She says, Dr. Morgan, just wanted to give you an update. I've lost 5 pounds. So sometimes you have to give the body a little bit of a rest so it can actually start doing what you want it to. I may not be answering your question, but here the answer to your question about maltodextrin or cornstarch, there's
right.
Actually a company now that ferments the stuff. And supposedly it increases certain types of gut flora that generate more butyrate. I mean, that's absolutely what you want. If they want to create diabetes or obesity in a rat or a mouse or a guinea pig, you ever seen a fat guinea pig? Anyway, but what they do is they lower the gut flora that produces butyrate. If they want chickens to gain weight 225% faster, then what they have to do is they have to put them on an antibiotic that kills a microbe that produces butyrate.
Oh my God!
So if they fed chickens, you know, earthworms with butter on them, they would not be gaining weight. They would look like the chickens of my childhood, which were small chickens. But there are companies, they sell fermented maltodextrin because it generates more butyrate. And so when you take that, I mean, you can take it orally. But the bottom line is, you know what's easy for me to recommend to people? Because I'm kind of interested in tinkering with people to get their bodies in better working order. If they could just have a little bit of fermented foods, like sauerkraut, I think things go better for them. Some people do very well with kombucha. Some people do well with kefir. Some people do great with certain forms of yogurt. But these fermented foods like, I love pickles. I could eat pickles every day. But it's a fermented food. And so what you're doing is you're trying to change the landscape of the colon, which is what metformin does. And so they're actually calling metformin probably one of the greater longevity drugs that can be prescribed, But there's other things you can do also. There are compounds that are found in dark chocolate. I didn't say a Hershey's Kiss, because technically that might be more sugar than it is chocolate. But if you had dark chocolate that contains a polyphenolic compound that helps change the type of microbes or bacteria that you have in the gut, and that means you get more butyrate. That's what you want, more butyrate.
Okay.
Red wine has a compound called resveratrol. It's found in the skins of grapes. And so when the Apostle Paul told Timothy, have a little bit of wine for the sake of your stomach, well, he didn't say drink 40 cardboard boxes from the store, which the other day I walked down the aisle and they had a huge cardboard box of red wine for sale for like $7. I don't think that's what Paul had in mind, but when you consume red wine, you get resveratrol. And resveratrol, over time, study after study shows that it helps rid the body of inflammation. Anything that rids your gut of inflammation, it literally helps you get into ketogenesis faster.
So is that sold as a separate product in the health food store, resveratrol?
Yes, you can get it. You can get it from health food stores, absolutely.
Okay.
And it's got two main sources. Either it comes from, you know, grapes, or it comes from a plant called Japanese knotweed.
Which is better?
Well, they both contain resveratrol, so it's. I don't want to say either one of them's better, but I'm not going to drink alcohol.
But now, raw grapes, does that have a lot of sugar?
It does, but what happens when you ferment grapes? You start to concentrate the resveratrol. That's one of the reasons that red wine has a lot more than just grape juice does.
Okay.
Well, you know, you could take technically milk, and you could actually measure the amount of B vitamins and vitamin A and minerals in it. But if you let it ferment with the help of microbes and you convert it into cottage cheese, you might actually get 50 times the amount of B vitamins in cottage cheese as compared to a glass of whole milk that it was made from. And so bacteria have this interesting way of eating the sugar and then in turn giving off good vitamins and nutrients for us. So I think the red wine technically has more resveratrol, but you can get this in supplement form from what's called Japanese knotweed. I had a man this week bring in a bottle of it, and I looked at the bottle and I said, if this actually has what it says on the label it has, then this is the greatest bargain of all time, because it was like $10. And I thought to myself, I couldn't even buy a concentration like that for $10, which I kind of wondered to myself. I didn't say anything to him. I wondered if maybe it was watered down. I know you haven't heard of people doing that, have you? Where they actually...
Oh, no, not in America today.
No,
I mean,
no, they would never...
Integrity is clearly number one in America.
Clearly number one. You've well said. I'm almost ashamed for bringing that topic up. Can you forgive me for that?
I don't know. It's
well,
been 29 years.
Do you see how I went to the dark side? Well, you know, the U.S. Customs Department, they just intercepted... Not intercepted. They tested honey that came from China. And guess what the concentration was? It was 90% brown rice syrup and 10% honey. Now, that might be an example of another country trying to... America would never do that, though.
No.
But sometimes, you know, that study that took place from Consumer Laboratories years ago, and I'm not going to say which store they went into, but it's just a very large store that's all over the universe. And they
starts with W and ends with Mart.
Could be, yes, that's high probability on that. But when they took supplements off the shelf, they just sent it to the laboratory to find out if what was claimed on the label was actually in the supplement. Now, I remember one of the ones they looked at was an herb called St. John's wort, which is it's given for depression and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so they tested it, and, man, it had great concentrations. It contained 3% of what it claimed on the label.
Yeah.
That means it was 97% depleted.
Right.
But you know where I'm getting to. If you find a product that's $2 on a shelf and you go to a health food store and you find their product is $22, well, there's a possibility that maybe the one that costs $2, you know, contains just 3% of what it's supposed to contain.
Yeah.
Anyway, but then again, if the Food and Drug Administration got involved with that, Could you imagine how expensive supplements would be? They're bad enough as it is, but it would be even more expensive.
Mm-hmm. And so, well, I think that diabetes is the number one cause of death in America because it leads to heart disease and blindness and
cancer
and everything else. I mean, it's a foundational bad boy in America, and it's exploding. It's increasing, seems to me. Now, I have diabetes from my grandmother, my father, my aunt, my son. I just didn't want to participate.
And I think that's called wisdom right there, is you see the writing on the wall and you say to yourself, is there anything that I could be doing to try to head this off at the pass so I don't have to go down the same road?
I agree. Well, God bless you, man, and thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. I hope you have a good day.
Thank you, brother.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, here's a story that I didn't get right. My purpose in talking to you about the chemical produced by your anterior pituitary called oxytocin is when you produce it, it gets rid of stress hormones. And that means your body is not being damaged and you get to keep your brain when you age instead of having dementia, as one example. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I've been a whole lot better in my lifetime.
Well, I sure am sorry about that, but this will not last forever. It's just a season, and you'll get through
this. That's right. The L4 pinched nerve goes around front, excruciating pain in the shin and hurts the hip and the thigh.
Okay.
What can I do?
Do you actually have a bulging disc, or do you have a protrusion that's pressing upon that nerve on one side or the other?
Can I tell you that I sent you a picture?
I never looked at it. I apologize.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I just now remembered. Did you send it to me this week?
I did.
Yeah. My apologies to you. I never even touched it.
Well, you're probably very busy.
Well, I'm the master at getting distracted with 40 phone calls, so yes, sorry.
Yes. They say it's kind of like the truck driver's disease. It's kind of like the whole spine is kind of... hang on a second. Kind of getting funky. But it is bulging a little bit.
I just found your phone number on my cell phone.
Okay.
Oh, you know what I did? I pushed it on the file that you sent to me. It says downloading, but it never downloaded because I'm pushing it right now and it just won't download.
Okay.
It says wait a second, let me read this. It says, Dr. Morgan, you may be the smartest physician I have ever talked to in my entire life.
That would be true.
Okay, I kind of made that up. Anyway, no, and I realize now what happened was this came Thursday morning, but I kept pushing the download, but it won't download. So there's something about it just didn't transfer, but I see what you're saying about it has a picture of your L4 and L5.
Right. And there's it seems to be pinching, I think it's in the front. And it goes down, like I said, it goes down the front of the thigh and then down over the shin.
Now when you say it goes down the...
It's numb in the mid-shin.
Okay. Do you remember anything that happened to you before these symptoms came up?
I turned the key off. I was standing up, turned the key of an ignition off in a motorhome, and turned around and felt the pain go down my leg.
Were you like twisting, bending over, stretching into the motorhome, and then doing it that way?
Just a little tiny bit, but not a lot.
But nothing excessive.
Not anything out of the ordinary.
Nothing like your break dancing days when you were in Southern California, right?
Right, exactly the case.
How many competitions did you win in break dancing, by the way?
I was a failure.
You mean second place? That's not a failure.
Probably third or fourth out of four.
I think I'm supposed to focus on helping you, right? I'm sorry about that.
We were working on that.
Okay, there's several things that you can do. Number one, Have you been trying to do any home stretches at all?
Yes, I had somebody tell me about laying on the floor, putting my feet up, my yeah. back in up to the couch, and putting my feet on the seat of the couch.
Does and that then, give you any relief at all?
I really didn't notice a whole lot. All right. I've also been hanging upside down.
Hanging upside down.
Okay. You know, on that teeter inversion.
Oh, yes, the inversion distraction. Does that give you any benefit?
When I get off of it, it feels like it's a little bit better.
Well, when you say a little bit,
it's going to get extremely loud right here for a second. I apologize. Go ahead. I've got an alarm going off that I've got to turn off.
Are you doing is this a bank heist?
No, this is a work day, and my coworker's getting on that same motorhome.
Okay, gotcha.
He's getting on the same motorhome that's killed my back.
Okay, great.
So, but anyhow, yeah, I have done that, and that does seem to help. I have had, yesterday was actually one of the best I've had.
Oh boy, is that alarm about to go off?
Yeah, it's about off now.
All right, sorry.
Almost. Hang on, there it is. Okay. I've been trying not to take the codeine pills that the MD gave me, but I've been taking the Tylenol arthritis formula.
Well, I'm highly motivated to help you. Let me have a stab at this. No,
yes, please.
Pun intended. Anyway,
I'll take it. Pun and
you,
all.
If you will, I've always wanted to do surgery. I think experimenting on you would be a good step in the right direction.
I'll be there this afternoon.
Okay, hang on. I need to get my whetstone out and sharpen my pocket knife real quick.
There you go.
If you will, I want you to. If I don't know if you have a pencil and paper, but there are.
Unfortunately, I don't.
Okay.
Because I'm driving. I'm working.
Do you know what the term bird dog means?
Yes.
Well, there's a type of exercise that I'm going to call the bird dog, where you get on all fours and you take your left arm and extend it, and you take your right leg. That is hands down one of the very, very best ones when there's a pinched nerve.
Really? Okay. I've seen people do that.
Well, but you would have to accept what I'm saying through faith, because if you got down and did it, it's not going to be 1.2 nanoseconds and then you're pain-free, because from what you're describing to me is there's probably a whole bunch of inflammation or swelling in the tissues around that nerve. But what you're doing is you're playing the long game here, in that what can I do today that's going to help ensure and make sure this heals, and if it can draw back in place, you want to do that. And so the bird dog is one of them. The other one, what's it called? Let me tell you what I want you to play with, all right?
Okay.
The book that I've recommended over and over and over again is called Core Performance by Mark Verstegen.
I've heard you talk about that.
And that could probably be, I think I ordered a copy the other day meaning 2 years ago.
I got that.
For like $2.10 off just a used copy.
Uh-huh.
But he takes you through a stretching routine, and it's active stretches and releases, but it's a beautiful, beautiful way that you can start the process of trying to get your body to mend and heal this, because right now your back is literally against the wall, and you're probably thinking, okay, if something doesn't give, they're going to recommend that I have a surgical procedure done.
Exactly.
And so you want to see if your body can heal it and repair it without that, correct?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so
I don't want anybody taking their pocket knife to me.
Well, this.
Well, maybe you.
Well, it's the blade's not that rusty. I don't really see what the big deal is.
Oh, then here you go.
But you know what? I remember
as
a. I remember as a boy, my father getting a boil lanced, and I watched him bite down as hard as he could on a leather strap from a belt, and that's really the only anesthetic you need, right?
Okay.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, if you could get a copy of Core Performance, or even better yet, if you have a smartphone, you could probably go onto YouTube and just type in, what exercises can I do for very, very severe radiculopathy or a bulging disc or leg numbness? And at least it can get you moving in the right direction. And I realize nothing I'm telling you is going to sound super glamorous right now. I really wish I had a pill to give you like...
I do, too.
Well, if I could, I would do that. I promise you I would. But the damage has taken place, and now we have to focus our energy on what can we do to get rid of it or to make it go away.
What about turmeric for anti-inflammatory?
Well, that's something that you can sure try right now. You could try white willow bark and boswellia and turmeric, and those things right there can give you incredible support. And the good news is they don't destroy your kidneys like the Tylenol would.
Exactly.
Sorry, I know I slipped that in there, but that's not a jab to you. You know I love you.
Oh, yeah, I got it. You know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do quickly.
Well, that's right, and that's just the way it is. And so you can always try hot packs and ice packs. You can try rubbing castor oil on the back. You could get one of those.
Was the other thing I was going to ask you with that. Did you think that would do any good?
Yes, it's always a possibility. You could even try getting some CBD oil and rubbing it on that to see if that gives you an anti-inflammatory effect that doesn't, you know, wreck the kidneys or the liver. The other thing that you might just play with just for a short season is getting one of those low back support straps or low back support belt that you can just kind of cinch up to compress that just for a few days.
Okay.
Now, can you stand up straight when you walk?
For a short period of time.
Well, what happens? Which way do you bend after you wear out? What'd you say?
Forward.
Okay. Do you look like you're all humped over?
I force myself not to, but yeah.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure. You always do.
Does Donna feel very sorry for you right now?
She's probably just finding out about it right now.
That's because you don't complain.
It's because we haven't had a chance to visit.
It's really because you don't complain. The other comment has nothing to do with it.
Okay, that'll work.
Because that sounds better.
Yeah, it does, much.
Okay, you're going to have to do therapy all day long. Does that mean you're working today?
Yeah.
So you're just going to have to gut it out, right?
Pretty much. I sit a lot.
Well, what's going to happen tomorrow? Are you going to be able to take tomorrow off?
Yes.
Okay. So in order to get through today, what you're going to do is you're going to have to get up as frequently as you can. I realize you cannot do that and drive the motor home or RV at the same time.
Right.
But what you can do is every time you have a chance to stop, you need to get up and go outside and just practice some stretching. Do you have your smartphone with you?
I do.
Well,
it's at
your fingertips then. So if you will, on your breaks, if you can, just punch in a video from maybe YouTube and what stretches can I do standing up for severe low back pain. I always like to do the hula hoop exercises. It's worth a try. You're pretending that you've got a hula hoop and you're trying to keep it, you know, from falling down from your waist to your hips to your knees.
Remember that as a kid.
That wasn't that long ago.
A couple of years.
One or two.
Yeah.
So if you could try those, that would be really good.
What about laying on your back, pulling your knees up to your behind, and rocking your knees back and forth?
Perfect.
I didn't know if that would harm it or help it.
No, it's not going to harm it at all. I don't think it will. But what you can do is you can do those things just to help pump that disc and distract it and try to get the fluid out of it. And actually,
that's one of my favorite exercises for stretching the back.
In a roundabout way, the first thing that popped in my head is trying to keep your feet flat on the ground and just squatting down to the ground like there's a campfire in front of you and you've got a stick and you're poking coals. I don't know if you can do that or not.
I would be able to, yeah.
Well, what about your knees and your ankles? Are they good?
It stops right above my ankle.
No, I meant are your knees in good shape where you can
do
them?
Okay. Yes, they are.
Because I didn't want to give you an exercise if your knee is a little bit tricky.
No,
How well can you bend your brain? Is it pretty flexible?
It's pretty warped.
Flexible.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so that's what you're looking at doing. And yes, you can lay on your back, bend your knees to your chest. And so when you get that book called Core Performance, it's going to take you through all those. And I bet you anything, you're going to find one or two that are much easier and more helpful than the others. And what you can focus on is the ones that seem to give you the very best relief.
Okay.
And I hate to say this, but I know you're in pain, but you're just going to have to push yourself through this. That's the only way to do it.
Okay. All right. I knew if I could get through to you, I could get answers.
Well, if you will, you might look at a low back support strap from like a local pharmacy.
Okay.
And see if that'll help you make it through the day. Are you going to be stopping by a large store
or pharmacy? No, I'll be actually at my desk in about an hour until about 3 o'clock.
Where is your desk located?
In the motorhome doing the work that I do.
Well, what's your GPS coordinates then?
Quitman.
Quitman. Okay, there's probably not like a large store there in Quitman.
No, it's on the way, but I'll have to do that on the way back.
I keep hearing that Quitman is a very happening, sophisticated town. Is that correct?
Oh, hey, it is right up there.
That's compared with which towns?
Good question.
Never mind. But if you will,
I'm trying to stay out of trouble.
No, just try all those things. You got to keep drinking the water.
I
understand that Tylenol is probably giving you some relief, but the quicker that we can get you off the Tylenol, I think we're going to be able to preserve your kidneys and your liver, which I do not want you having blood pressure problems and other issues.
No, I don't either.
But just think, by the time you get home this evening, like around 4 o'clock, you'll have a nice hot meal waiting on you.
Yeah, actually I will.
Good.
Actually I will. And our friend at Dump at Chicago asked about you on a fairly regular basis.
He did ask me,
he said, did you call Dr. Morgan yet? I said, I got a message into him. He's like, okay. He just wanted to be sure that I called you.
Yeah, anything that I can do to help, let me know.
Oh, thank you so much.
I thought I was waiting on a phone call from him. Is that not correct?
Well, you were, but his phone messed up, and things got into a bit of an uproar. He's moving next week, so after things settle down, I'll have him try and call you again.
Okay. Hang in there, buddy. I'm very, very sorry for your low back. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Oh, and me either, but thank you for your help.
Oh, you're welcome.
If I have any questions, I'll get hold of you during the week.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Take care, buddy. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, I want to read this to you right here. It comes from a book called The Chemistry of Success. Anyway, I was talking about how you, when you touch or hold hands or kiss or hug or pat or have an act of kindness, that what that does is it tells your pituitary to start releasing oxytocin. And somehow or another, oxytocin seems to diminish and dissolve and get rid of cortisol. And when cortisol is in excess, oh, you do not want that. You could have everything from just out-and-out memory loss to amnesia to just Alzheimer's. That's just one aspect of it, but depression is the end result. Anyway, this right here, according to an article published in the year 1992 in a journal called the Family Practice News, they did a survey and they observed children. And all they wanted to do was just count the number of times a day that children laughed. You know what the average was? I told this wrong the other day to a patient. I said it was 200, but it's 400. Kids laugh 400 times a day. Now, would you care to guess how many times a day that adults laugh? That guy that just called on the phone, if he ever comes to see me, I bet you we laugh 15 times within the first 5 minutes. He is very, very comical and funny. Of course, it doesn't help matters that he plays off my poor attempt at humor constantly because that keeps it going. But adults only laugh 15 times a day. But they're saying that laughter gets rid of cortisol. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Well, I'm not doing too well right now. I was wondering what you think of this stimulator they put in your spine for the back pain.
I'm having a very hard time hearing you. Do you have the phone right up to your mouth?
Yes. People have trouble with my cell phone.
No, that's good. I can hear you clear now.
Okay. The stimulators they put in your back for pain.
A spinal stimulator?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
What do you think about it?
Well, do you have one in yours, or are you considering having
one?
Not
yet. We're supposed to do it.
Is it because of just very, very severe pain?
Yes, in the back, in the legs, in the feet.
Do you have, like, significant nerve damage or structural damage of your back?
Pretty much.
Oh, dear.
I've had two back surgeries, and I've got the rods and screws in it.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, that's what those spinal stimulators are for, when you have intractable pain and there's no amount of physical therapy or natural remedies or drugs that do anything to help, then yes, that's what they're for.
So, you're
just totally suffering all the time, right?
Oh, I am.
I don't mean to be rude by asking this question, but do you have a high quality of life or not so much?
It's just rough right now, a lot of stress.
Oh, bless your heart. So the back and the nerves, that's not your only source of stress, right?
No, I think my rotator cuff messed up, and I've started. I've got muscle spurs in my neck, and they're just getting all over my body. I think I'm shot.
Well, that's what those stimulators are for. They help block the pain, and so for severe cases that don't respond any other way, yes, that's what they'll do.
Okay.
Is that what your doctor is recommending for you?
Right, and either that or take all of this. The plumbing out of my back and start over, and at my age, it's
take the plumbing out of your back. That sounds a lot more drastic than the other. It's probably kind of scary to a girl, isn't it?
Well, it is. Rods and screws in my back, and my balance is gone, and I'm just shot.
Would I be rude or too forward if I ask how this happened? Was it a bad accident?
No. No, it just happened over the years, gradually getting worse and worse. And then I had it fixed, and it was a success. And then I fell off of a platform and completely undid it. And it just gradually got worse and worse.
I'm so sorry for you.
Had it fixed again, and that didn't, it's just not last, the last thing.
So this last procedure really didn't take?
No. No.
I had a guy that came to see me not that long ago, and he was, and the story was just absolutely horrible over the phone when I talked to him, or I talked to his wife, and he was telling me how he's had one surgery after the other, and it's just all been a failure upon failure. And I just saw him one time, but when I examined him, I found that he had one muscle in his lower back that was what I felt like was generating the vast majority of the pain. And so all I did was just work on the muscle just a little bit to see if I could affect it or change it for the better. And sure enough, the guy walks out of the office without pain. But you've got rods, you've got screws. There's probably a major structural issue. But I just want you to know there's more than one way to skin a cat. I really didn't mean it that way. I'm just saying there's
no
alternative.
I understand.
So there's an unusual form of pain that comes just from a dysfunctional muscle, and there's a form of pain called sclerotogenous pain that comes only from the bones, and there's dermatological pain that comes from a nerve, and you're trying to figure out which one's the greatest source of pain. But one thing that I might add, the body can completely learn how not to hurt. And so I'm thinking there's a book by Dr. John Sarno. You could probably get a paperback copy for 50 cents at a garage sale. But if you get one online, it might be 75 cents. But his name is Dr. John Sarno, and he has a really, really good book on what you do technically to deal with a back that will not heal, that just generates all these pain fibers. And the other guy that I like, his name is Dr. Norman Doidge. He has case after case of people in severe pain, and I want to say the book is called The Brain's Way of Healing by Norman Doidge. I think he's a neurologist. He's actually one of those guys, when I've watched his lectures on YouTube before, he's just so pleasant because he's humble. He didn't come across as a know-it-all, and so when he tells stories about people that have severe pain and they're like stuck and there's no hope, and how they can unlearn all the pain and become pain-free, it's just very, very inspiring to me. I just love stories like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll have to see that. I've written his name down before in that book, but I never got it.
Okay.
Well, I have this also, a skeletal disease. My mother seemed to have had all this.
Well, I can believe you.
And the muscles in my legs are trying to atrophy. Well, in fact, my pancreas is already shrinking, so I have to take meds for that to be able to hold.
What do you take for your pancreas?
CREON, crayon.
Yeah, those are just enzymes.
Yes, very expensive enzymes.
I've
$500 and something for it. I have paid as much.
And that's with a coupon, probably.
That's with my insurance.
Oh, so that's your part, huh?
Yes, it's $3,000 a month.
Oh,
and
that's
sometimes
just...
it's $700 and something a month.
Well, forgive me for being blunt here, but I think you could do the same thing with an enzyme for $35.
Well, I'm taking what you said, the gut shot, and I'm taking the aloe vera gel.
And
oh boy, you're trying.
I listen to you. I've tried my best.
And you know one thing that you might try? You might just give it 3 days and see what happens to your body, but you might try... do you know what bovine colostrum is?
I've heard you speak of it.
So when a mama cow gives birth to the baby, that first 1 to 3 hours, that milky substance that comes out of the mommy's... Sometimes I hear myself talking, I go, the cow... What comes out of the udder is going to be colostrum. Not the milk, but the colostrum.
Right.
And colostrum is one of the most intriguing substances that God has designed, if you ask me, because sometimes that's what I think. If a person's in horrible, horrible pain, I might try giving them colostrum.
Where do I get that?
Well, you're probably looking at either ordering from the internet or a health food store would be two starting points. But you could easily take colostrum. And one thing that colostrum has, I shouldn't say one thing, because it has like thousands of things, but it has all these healing and growth factors. And the other day I had a man come to see me with his lovely wife, and they were just explaining how bad this man's knee really was. And this guy is not a lazy man. He is a go-getter. So he has a full-time job, and probably on top of that, he has another full-time job, and on top of that, he's got another full-time job. So the guy works. And so maybe part of his issue is he's had injuries to his knee, and he's had surgeries that have probably failed. Well, I know they have failed because that's what he told me. And he just doesn't have a chance to, he just doesn't recover. And so he's in brutal pain. But he sent me a message. He said the very next day, the pain was significantly better just by adding colostrum. But colostrum contains all these healing factors and growth factors. And when I say growth, I guess I'm kind of playing on the idea that you have atrophy of your pancreas and atrophy of your leg muscles.
Yeah,
that means
I do.
They're kind of shrinking. Right. No. Right. I'm glad you told me, because I heard you when you said that, and I thought to myself, boy, what we want here is we want the pancreas to get back to its normal size, and we want the leg muscles to get back to their normal size. I can tell you right now, the stronger you become physically, this is where all your fortunes change for the better, if you can only get to the point. But colostrum contains all those growth factors. It's actually quite incredible.
And would the granary have it?
I think that's where you should try.
Okay, our natural grocers.
Yes, absolutely. Give it a shot. I'll meet you over there this morning. What time are you going to be there? I will pick you up from your car. I'll put you in a shopping cart, and I will push you up and down each aisle of the store till we find what you want.
Yeah.
See, I made you laugh.
I need to laugh. I don't laugh 400 times a day.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to have to make you laugh 400 times a day.
Well, is there? You don't know of a good brand of this bovine colostrum?
Well, these are two different topics. I would say number one, I'm going to try to give you some guidelines. If you can make sure that it. Some manufacturers, they try to defat them. That means they remove the fat from them. I don't think you want that. I just want it to be raw colostrum.
Yeah.
And if you get the raw colostrum that hasn't been processed, that's really what you want. And I just think you just need to start taking it. The other thing that you might do just to give your body a break is just drink juice for a few days. If you had access to a juicer, you could put a couple of carrots, a few pieces of celery, or ribs or stalks of celery, an apple, parsley, and just live on that for a couple of days and give your pancreas a rest. But
actually,
I started to completely throw down in a different direction, because that angers me that an enzyme costs $3,000 a month. I am livid over that topic. Livid. There is no way on God's green earth that they can justify charging $3,000, but they do it because they can't. Well, I'm sorry. I'm stopping. I pulled myself back. What were you going to ask me?
This is from a German hog's pancreas that it's made.
Well, we could get an American hog pancreas, or we can get a Spanish hog, and we could say muy bien, and it would be even better. I don't care if it's a German hog.
I don't know why we have to deal with Germany for our medicine.
Well, I can give you one reason. There's a scripture in the Bible. The love of money is at the root of all high insurance. Never mind. I shouldn't say that. But you can use American hog pancreas and get a great result.
Right. I guess I'll go kill me a hog.
You know, now we're talking. You know what my son and I did one day? He was just laughing the whole time. He was reading on the internet. I said, let's try that. So we got a bucket, and we put corn in it, and he took like 2 boxes of strawberry Jell-O, and he went and purchased apple-flavored soft drink from the store for like 97 cents. That should probably tell you where we bought it. And we just stirred all this up, and it just starts smelling wicked, and we just spread this out in the woods, and the hogs cannot resist this fermented corn. They can't.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. Well,
I think there's some hope for you here, but I just want to nudge you in the right direction. But if you could try colostrum.
Okay.
I just really think that is ridiculous that an enzyme from a hog pancreas costs $3,000. $3,000. Come
right.
on.
And I tried a cheaper brand and it didn't work.
You tried what?
We tried a cheaper one and it didn't work. We had to go back to the expensive one.
Well, maybe you just need to take more of the cheaper one.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what I was trying to tell the gentleman earlier. Sometimes the cheaper ones, they don't actually have enough of the active enzymes. And so what you need is you need plenty of chymotrypsin and trypsin, and you need plenty of proteases and amylases and lipases, and all those come from the hog pancreas. I know what I use a hog pancreas, because those suckers can eat anything. When I was a boy, I'd take a slop bucket out there, and I would throw the slop into the trough. If I dropped a bar of lye soap into the trough, the hogs would devour it. And I would look at him and say, Arnold, what are you doing eating that bar of soap? And I would just laugh. Bubbles come out of his mouth. When I would skin a squirrel, I could throw any part of the squirrel, you know, hide and tail. Arnold would eat it.
Mm.
They devour anything. I would hate to get sick and pass out in the woods because I'd probably wake up and there'd be 3 hogs eating my limbs.
That's true out here in the woods. That's
they,
true.
They could devour anything.
They'll ruin a whole lawn in one night.
Man, you ain't kidding. Well, I just think there's got to be a simpler solution for you that's cost effective that doesn't put you under this horrible stress, because having to pay $700 for your part of a supplement from Germany, I can't even imagine how they came up with that number.
Well, I don't know, but I'm already in the donut hole.
Well, bless your heart. I want to lift you up and do whatever I can to encourage you. Try the colostrum and see if that helps your back a lot.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your phone call. I really appreciate you, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're
bye-bye.
Welcome. Bye-bye. Okay. There's just a few moments left in the program if you'd like to call. 903-586-5257 if you have a question or you'd like to make a comment. It is one thing to be in severe pain. If you haven't experienced that, I'm very thankful that you haven't had to experience pain. But it can just be very, very depressing and very discouraging to not be able to ever see any progress of any kind. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Dr. Morgan.
Hello. How are you?
I've been having a problem sleeping, and I've been missing your program ever since it was moved up a little earlier. But I wanted to ask on baking soda and apple cider vinegar. Does it really matter how much water you take with it and if it's warm or not, as long as you get the proportions essentially right?
I don't think it does.
Okay, and the other thing, I was listening to you talking about bovine colostrum. Would that help with muscle growth?
You know what, I was starting to say yes before you even answered the question, but your answer is yes. Because it contains all the growth hormone factors, and that's what muscle responds to.
Right.
I mean, even if you went to a clinic in South America or South Africa that specializes in muscle growth, those are all synthetic, you know, man-made injections, but growth hormone is not. It's very.
I was thinking that's exactly. As soon as you said growth hormone, I thought, well, wait a minute, this is what people are paying a fortune for.
That's right.
And if it's coming from an animal source rather than something synthetic, And the only reason I'm asking, I've been adamantly opposed to steroids my entire life, but I broke my back when I was 14 and I had a botched surgery, and my left leg had been atrophied before. And 20 years later, after I came out with MRIs, I got a really wonderful neurosurgeon versus an orthopedic that did it the first time. And I had asked them, I had heard about Governor Bill Clements at the time had had sciatica, and they had either clipped or I think they put alcohol in the nerve.
They just want to dissolve that nerve that sends pain back to the brain.
Right.
An ablation procedure or rhizotomy, whatever they call it.
I'm wondering, and they had so many, I'm talking like 12-syllable words for stuff that was wrong with me, but my left calf, it's bigger than most people's, but it's kind of deformed. The soleus is okay, but the gastroc is deflated compared to my right one. And my right one, I mean, I have to calm down what I do or I'll start getting stretch marks. I can't wear cowboy boots without cutting them down, because the calf swells up so much. But the left one, I can't, it's just atrophied a lot, it seems, lately, and I don't know what the deal is, but I certainly do feel better after having started taking the apple cider vinegar and baking soda in a lot of subtle ways, but it's a variety of things, and I know it's helping me. I've also cut out, not protein by any stretch, but I started alternating mackerel because salmon just costs too dadgum much, with offal, you know, hearts and gizzards, or liver twice a week, just so I get my bees and stuff.
I still think that's hilarious they call it offal.
Yeah.
Well, but it's O-F-F-A-L,
not A-W. Not A-W, exactly. And I love the stuff. I've always liked the giblets and giblet gravy. I've never called it giblet because I'm from Texas, I guess. But anywho, I've started including a lot more vegetables and vegetable proteins. I've gotten where I would eat ice cream with turmeric and black pepper, man. It is one of the best things in the world. I've cut out salt. I've cut out sugar. I'm using stevia. I use the brand that starts with a P now, with erythritol, because that seems to be the best type. And I want to know what you thought about stevia. Are there any known drawbacks to it?
Yes. It contains uric acid, so some people that hurt and have pain, it'll make the pain worse, or they'll urinate a heck of a lot more than normal.
That wouldn't really be possible.
Well, my point is, maybe that's a component, because you're... The moment you take it in, your kidneys are going to work. I had a guy tell me Wednesday evening.
What's that?
He said, and I don't really hear this very often, but he said this. He said, I followed your advice, Dr. Morgan. And I thought to myself, where is my sheet of paper? I have got to write that down and have him notarize that. And so once we clear that out, he said, I went from 200 to 190 just by doing one thing. And I thought to myself, what could I have possibly told him that would have had that response? And he said, I switched from sugar to monk fruit. And you might tell me that monk fruit serves you so much better than stevia does. I'm not against it.
I'll give it a shot. Well, stevia, I just heard that it was okay for diabetics.
But it has. But if you have swelling in your legs and you urinate a lot, I would say maybe it's not for you.
Well, I think since taking the apple cider vinegar and baking soda, I had also read where it cut down on oxalates and stones and such. And it's probably bypassed any negative effect of the offal and maybe even the stevia, because I don't seem to have a problem in either one of those regards.
Yeah, but as long as you got swelling fluid in your body and you're urinating a lot, I got to go back to the stevia because of the high oxalates.
Okay, well, I'm definitely going to take a look at monk fruit.
That's all I want you to do.
I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate how
you're welcome.
You are.
I appreciate you. I mean, you're serious about taking care of your health. You want to honor God with the good things you do.
My whole life, I was never one to eat asparagus or red cabbage or anything else, and now I'm eating it up left and right with onions and heaven knows what else. And I started eating more beans and peas just because I read I should.
Well, I'm really proud of you for trying. That's great, man.
Well, hey, I quit dipping 6 years ago after dipping for 48 years. I started young.
Well, we're completely out of time. Call me back next week and tell me the rest of it. But I'm really proud of you, man. Keep up the good work. You're doing great.
I'm doing a lot better. Thank you very much. You take care.
Bye-bye.